wake-up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. It is hour number two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour, and then more from four games this weekend. That is the best divisional weekend the NFL has seen. It was four thrilling games where they all came down to the wire, and they all were tight, and they all had their own storylines. We didn't have what we had during the wild card weekends, where some games were okay, some were really poorly played, some were kind of blowouts. This was a divisional weekend where all eight teams had a chance to advance, and four did, and we're going to get to that throughout the show this morning. We've been talking about the Bills and the Chiefs game and the Allen and the Mahomes rivalry. It should be playing out for the next couple of years. But Aaron Rodgers loses again in the postseason. And I know it's cliche to say it's tough to win a Super Bowl. Players say it, coaches say it, fans say it, executives say it. Everybody says it. It's also being used a lot to sort of forgive a lot of mistakes an organization makes, right? When they are expected to win a Super Bowl and they don't, yeah, it's natural to go to it's very difficult to win a Super Bowl. We get it. The Green Bay Packers have had two Hall of Fame players at quarterback in over a 30-year span, or close to a 30-year span in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and they have two titles to show for it. Now, that's not bad for an organization in a 30-year span, but it's also not great when you consider that part of the reason you win Super Bowls is that you have one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And the Packers, for three decades, have had two of the best quarterbacks in the game. And they've got 2 years in which they were the champions, and that's it. They've gone to three. If you remember, Favre and the Packers were heavily favored against the Broncos going into Super Bowl 32, but lost. So, again, it's cliche, but there is some truth behind it. But look at San Francisco and look at that organization. They'll be going, if they should beat the Rams, they would be going to their second Super Bowl in 3 years. But if you go back not that far to the 2012-13 season and remember that they went with the Baltimore Ravens and lost to the Ravens, that's another Super Bowl that's on their resume within a decade. So while it is difficult to go to the Super Bowl, you should be able to do it more than three times with two of the best quarterbacks over a 30-year span. This was another bad out for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the postseason. Coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb, and more breakdowns of the divisional contest that we had this weekend. A historic one for the National Football League as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Here's your Monday edition, the post-divisional round weekend edition. There was a lot of good, there was a lot of bad, there was a lot of dumb, but what's the good of the day?
Well, I almost want to focus just primarily on football.
All right.
I mean, there was so much. There was so much good this weekend, it's hard to pinpoint exactly which game we want to talk about. But I know we're going to talk about that anyway, so I'm going to go off the cuff a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to talk hockey.
Hockey, all right.
Yes, not even NHL hockey. I'm going to talk American Hockey Association hockey.
Why not? I'll take your word for it.
The Hershey Bears.
Hershey Bears, yeah.
They broke their own world record over the weekend with their annual teddy bear toss.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
So if you don't know the tradition, it's sponsored by Giant Food Stores. After the first goal is scored, everyone tosses a stuffed animal onto the rink, right? It's must watch video if you get a chance to see it.
Yeah, they pepper the. It's fantastic.
They ended up throwing over 52,000 stuffed animals onto the ice.
That's crazy.
52.
All right, how many fans
1,000.
Are in the arena?
I'm thinking
a minor league hockey game.
I mean, everyone brought. I think like 10 each.
It must have been right. Like even if you have 20,000, that's like nearly three bears a person.
Yeah,
per person. Not including kids. Oh, including kids. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
52,000. And all the stuffed animals are collected and then distributed to local charities.
What?
That's what they do.
52,000 teddy bears.
52,000 stuffed animals.
How many like, do you think I have any left? Like, is there 52,000 needy kids?
You know,
that need
I mean,
bears,
you got to do this after Christmas because, you know, you won't have any for Christmas.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
They go, huh.
Good luck finding a teddy bear for Valentine's Day there, stud.
That's awesome.
It's done.
It's great. That's great. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. And again, we could have gone football because there was certainly lots of bad things that happened in football. But
Special teams for the Packers, mm-hmm. one of them?
Maybe. But I'm going to go and I'll just hint at Nick Saban never stops recruiting.
Never stops recruiting.
Over the weekend, he was spotted taking in an Arch Manning basketball game.
Arch Manning plays basketball, too?
He plays basketball, and you know what? He's pretty good.
I'm sure he's awesome, right? I'm sure he's like the leader of the team and scoring leader and whatever it is that he wants to be.
Imagine you're that good at football, that highly sought after by college coaches, that, you know, one of the all-time greatest college football coaches in the history of the game takes in your basketball game.
That must be great. I'm just here to watch him play basketball. It doesn't have to come to football. It can be basketball, too. Yep. I'm okay with it.
Just trying to see what kind of athlete he is, how he runs the court.
If you're Nick Saban, it's awesome that you will still go to recruit, but do you have to go through the rigmarole of all that stuff when you were Nick Saban? Do you just go, hi, I'm Nick Saban, I'm Alabama, you know, we're interested. Call me if you want to go.
Does he even have to say Alabama?
Right? Like, he doesn't even have to say Alabama. He just says, hi, I'm Nick Saban.
I mean, no, he's even at that point. He doesn't even have to, like, Lane Kiffin may have to say, I'm Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
But if Nick Saban shows outside your door, like, he's knocking on your door and you don't recognize him, you probably aren't going to be playing college football anyways.
Well, yeah, but it even, like, you just sort of go, we're Alabama, we're interested. What do you want to do? You
know? Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's simple, right?
Like, do you go, did you hear about our new facilities? Like, we have a cryotherapy machine every game. You can use it anytime you want.
Yeah.
Or do you just go, trust us, we have great stuff.
Does he go there and he goes, yeah, we just sunk $20 million in our athletic program refurbish everything?
Think about the greatest thing. Think about the greatest gym you've ever attended. We're five times better than that. Right. Yeah.
I mean, Nick, I mean, for Arch Manning, it's different, but for other recruits, you know, who may be on the fence, if I'm Nick Saban, the only thing I'd go is like, you want to play in the NFL?
Yeah, right? Come here.
That's all I'm going to say to you.
Arch Manning, man. I cannot wait to hear where he goes because I'm going to be excited and disgusted by it at the same
time. When's he get to do the hat? Is that going to be next December? Yeah.
Because I've been on the record saying I hate the hat ceremonies. I think they're ridiculous. But I really want to know where he goes.
Is that hat ceremony going to rival the decision?
See, that's what I'm worried about. I don't like it. With name, image, and likeness, it's just going to get worse.
Oh, my God. Well, he's...
Right? Like, it's just going to get worse. But...
He's going to have one of those NASCAR track suits on.
Yeah, exactly.
With all the sponsors.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, good for Nick Saban. Just show up. Just casually show up to the basketball game. Say hi. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, well, I will stick with NFL because I think this is a non-story right now. Although I think they're trying to make it a story. Ian Rappaport was reporting that Sean Payton has gone dark.
Ooh.
Meaning he isn't returning any phone calls and is contemplating retirement.
So are we thinking that because he went dark, he's going to retire?
Here's the thing, right? He's on vacation.
Yeah.
He's been on vacation for the past week. And, you know, I mean, granted, if I'm on vacation, maybe he is contemplating, maybe he's mulling over decisions. I mean, he has 3 years left on his deal with the Saints. Maybe he hinted to someone like, I'm not getting any younger. I've been doing this for how long now? I mean, Is he the second longest tenured coach?
I think he's
the
second longest tenured coach, yeah.
Yeah, we all know Belichick is number one. But at the same time, I'm thinking it's a non-story because the man is on vacation. He's just trying to unwind from a season of football by not dealing with football, giving back to his family because he largely ignores them during the fall.
If you go to your owner and you say, I'm taking my family on a 2-week vacation, I'm going to leave the phone off.
Yeah.
If you need anything, contact my agent. My agent will fly to where I am to tell me in person if it's that much of an emergency.
Right.
So be really careful what you tell my agent, because he's going to have to travel in order to get where I am. And the owner says, no problem. Turn your phone off. There's nothing that you, that, yeah. that
Enjoy
you need
your
to do.
Time. You deserved
Enjoy your
it.
Time
you
away.
Earned it.
Exactly. And then tell your agent, fly to, this is where I'm at. Don't tell anybody where I'm at. If all hell breaks loose, fly to this location and tell me in person.
Yeah.
And that's all that's you need.
I'm thinking it's a non-story right now. I could be wrong. You know, I mean, yeah. Lord knows. I mean, maybe these things, maybe there's more legs under this than we know. But, I mean, like, if I'm on vacation, I try my hardest not to think about work. Because that's
right.
what vacation
that's
is
course.
For. You're supposed to completely escape from your day-to-day life and just rest, relax, recuperate, revitalize, all the R's that you could possibly yeah. think of.
Oh, I went on a cruise a couple of years ago, and when you're on a cruise, like, we just put our phones away because we didn't want the data charges.
Oh, of course.
So we just told the kids, I'm like, all the phones, turn them off, put them in your safe.
Yep.
Don't take them out. But when you get off the cruise and you turn your phone on, I was like, oh, my God, I hope all hell didn't break loose
yeah.
while I was gone, you know, leaving assignments and things like that and what that, you know. It, you know, but nothing happened. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
Everything got taken
But
care
again,
of.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Everyone knew I was on vacation. Everybody knew they couldn't get a hold of me, that they weren't going to be. I told everybody, going on a boat, you ain't going to get me. You're not going to get me. So whatever problems arrive, just get some, you know, figure it out. That's what you do if you're on vacation. It's not to be read into that you're quitting your job. It's because you're on vacation.
Now, yeah. when you're on vacation, you do contemplate, man, I don't want to go back to work.
Yeah, maybe
for
maybe
anybody.
Maybe I'm looking around the NFL and going, I have no quarterback in a league where I desperately need one.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. So, good point.
Well, the NFC South, I still think you're safe, though.
I think you're okay.
Because that is literally the one division I think that there's no franchise quarterback in any of those on any of those teams right now.
Exactly. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Tom Brady. He walked off the field not winning a Super Bowl, but we'll talk about his impending decision coming up next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this morning, breaking down the four divisional games in the NFL. Best weekend the league has ever had in terms of its games. Again, two number one seeds down. The three teams of the four winning on the road. Almost had another one with Buffalo scoring with 13 seconds remaining to go up by three. And if that score had held on for whatever reason, that would have meant all four road games decided by 3 points. That would have been amazing. I mean, all four road teams winning by 3 points. Incredible. Now, Tom Brady walked off the field, and he did not win, and he is done for this season. And so, naturally, the speculation is coming whether or not he'll return. I personally think he's going to return. I do. I think that he had an Instagram post that was sort of hinting to coming back. But he didn't give a definitive answer. He didn't say, oh, no, I'm definitely coming back. I don't know why you guys are even asking this, right? He just went, I'm only thinking about this game. I'm not thinking about 5 minutes from now, blah, blah, blah. Same stuff that he doesn't want to commit to. And I'm sure he'll evaluate it. He's 44, going to be 45 years old. And whether or not he wants to go at this one more time. He wanted to play until he's 45. I think I'm going to take his word on it that he wants to play at 45. So I do think he's coming back next year. However, let's look at this from another angle here. And this is a question I kind of threw out last week, which is, if you're Tom Brady, you're going to leave this game in two ways, right? You're either going to leave this game where people are going to wonder if you still have enough gas in the tank, whether that is going to be a Super Bowl champion or a Super Bowl participant or a playoff loss, right? But you could leave the game where people went, man, he still was good. He still throws the ball well. He still runs that offense well. He still has not shown any bit of Father Time getting a hold of him whatsoever. All of that would be great. You can walk away from the game like that. If that was the case, this would be a good game to walk away from, right? He had a phenomenal season. He came back from 27-3 down, only to watch his defense give up the huge play to Cooper Kupp that set up the game-winning field goal for the Rams, knowing that if I could just get that ball again, I would have put this game away, and we'd be going to the NFC Championship game, hosting it here in Raymond James Stadium. But instead, they lose. They lose on not a pick six to Logan Ryan or not anything that made you think that the quarterback was past his prime. But the longer he stays in this league, the more likely he is going to leave like Peyton Manning or Ben Roethlisberger, where the visible signs of getting beat up over and over again and the wear and tear of this game and the wear and tear that age will bring you are going to be showing. And I don't know if Brady wants to be in that light. Does he want to leave the game like Roethlisberger, where he can't throw the ball downfield as well as he used to, where the offense is struggling just to exist? Or does he want to leave like Peyton Manning, Super Bowl champion, but knowing the team wasn't going to bring you back? Those are the things that Brady has to contemplate. The Buccaneers will bend over backwards to bring him back. They don't have another quarterback, right? Kyle Trask, I think, is the backup there. They don't have another quarterback in the pipeline. They're not waiting out to move on to someone else. They want him back next year, and why not? He was playing at an MVP level. But again, the longer he plays, the more likely it is that he is going to show age enough that is going to make us think of him like we saw with Roethlisberger. With the last part of the season, it was about just get out of the way. Do your thing and then leave. And I don't know if Brady wants to leave the game like that. Now, again, I don't know what goes on in his head. He might have the attitude, I'm going to go until absolutely every ounce of my body can't play this anymore. And if I look bad doing it, I look bad doing it. But I'm going to show that I've given every single ounce of what I physically can do in this game to this game. Okay, if that's the case, he's going to play a couple more years because he's clearly not at that point right now. But I wonder if he wants to leave with just that sort of level of conversation. Could he have played to 47? We'll never know. Could he have played to 46? We'll never know. Right? That's what I wonder. He's coming off an MVP level season. The Buccaneers came up short. Wasn't entirely his fault. Had another great comeback. All of these things would make you go, all right. The other factor is, and I think this is a little different than other quarterbacks. John Elway famously said, I love Sundays, but I don't like Monday through Saturday. That was sort of the famous approach to retirement. And you hear a lot of this echoed a bit in different ways when quarterbacks do finally leave. They all love to compete. They all do. They would love to do it forever. But the reason they can't do it forever is to get to Sunday, it is a lot on them to get there. It's the ice baths and the massages and the tape and the, you know, all of the things that go into getting yourself ready for the game. And it's week in and week out. And it's not sleeping well because you're in pain and all of the things that come with playing that particular position. And I think for Brady, while he loves Sundays, he seems to like football where he likes Monday through Saturday too. It just appears that way. Again, I don't live with him. I don't live in his house. I'm not privy to the private conversation he has with his family. But it seems to me he seems like a guy that likes the preparation, likes being in a locker room, likes being on a practice field, likes everything that comes with being a quarterback and the responsibility of that job. It is not just about playing on Sundays, but I hate everything else. He seems to love playing on Sundays and likes everything else. And that's one of the reasons why I think he's going to stay. Because I think that there's somewhere that answer that I had. Whether he leaves the game where he shows you how beat up he is and leaving the game with a lot of gas left in the tank, I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. I would caution people who think he's not going to leave until he wins a Super Bowl. It is really hard to win a Super Bowl. We just talked about that earlier. That's a cliche everybody uses. He's not guaranteed to get back in the game. He's not guaranteed to win another one at any time, anywhere, at all. He certainly can. But remember, the last one he won came as a shock. The last one he won came because of an incredible defensive effort and his four touchdowns. Of course, that's why he was the game's MVP. But to limit Patrick Mahomes to three field goals, like, was crazy. The league is starting to really percolate with young, talented quarterbacks with high dynamic offenses. He certainly can win one. Of course he can. But the Buccaneers were not clear-cut favorites to win it this year. I thought the Rams had an outstanding chance of pulling off the victory, and they did. It's going to get more difficult for him. The Buccaneers are going to have to bring in some more people, right? Change a few rosters. They're not going to be able to bring back everybody like they did last year. They're not going to. But he certainly is a quarterback that gives his team the best chance of winning a Super Bowl, even at his age. And that's why I do think he's going to continue to play. But he's not going to stay in the game until he wins a Super Bowl. Like, wait, he's not going to, he can't commit to saying, well, I'm not going to leave until I walk off like Elway and Peyton. If he wanted to do that, he should have done that last year. He's smart enough to know how hard it is to get to that game. He's smart enough to know how hard it is to win that game.
And he's not naive to think that, we made it to one, we'll do it again.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. I mean, they went a long time between Super Bowl wins when they beat the Carolina Panthers till when they beat, what was it, the Falcons?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, or was it, I'm trying to remember. There was maybe one in between. Or one before that, maybe? Man, it's so hard to keep up with all their Super Bowls. He won six there, right? So he won the first three, lost to the Giants again, and then beat the Falcons, lost to the Eagles, beat the Rams. Which one am I missing? Which other team was on that? Oh, Seattle. So there was like a decade gap between the time they beat Carolina and the time they beat Seattle. Super Bowl 39 to Super Bowl 49. Right? He knows that. And he's not playing until he's 54, right? Like eventually Father Time does win, right? Like, we it holds off for a lot, like Dick Clark, for example. But eventually it does win, right? So he knows it's hard. So if he's setting that goal for himself, that's great. But he could be in the league a while, right? Especially with what we're seeing on these up-and-coming teams and these up-and-coming quarterbacks.
But do we believe that this is it for him?
Oh, not now, no. I think he's coming back.
I don't even know why that became a narrative during yesterday's game.
Because it's a narrative with a 44-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
It's okay, look. It's a lesson I've been trying to teach this audience for a long period of time. Somebody's got to ask the question because you want the question answered.
Right.
So that's all that was. That's all that was. And when he didn't come out and say, of course I'm coming back next year, that's silly. That made people go, oh. Why didn't he just say that? Like, we're not asking Josh Allen if he's going to play football next year, right?
Even if Josh Allen was 44, he's coming back.
Right. Well, right. Exactly. Like, we're not asking Josh Allen that, right? We're not asking Ryan Tannehill that, right? We didn't ask Aaron Rodgers if he was going to retire. They asked him if he was going to be playing for somebody else.
Right? Not retire,
but
return.
We didn't ask any of the other losing teams this weekend if their quarterback was coming back, because the quarterbacks are coming back. But with him, you don't know. And I think what you want is, what do you want to say about that? And I think people then read the fact that if he was going to come back, automatically he would have said, of course I'm coming back.
Well, I think we even said when he signed the 2-year deal with the Buccaneers, we said, well, probably after the second year, he'll be done.
Right.
And it's, because largely it was that, he gets the return to Foxborough.
Well, yeah. And he knows the team wants him back. So he could have said, yeah, if they'll have me, I'll come back, of course. But he didn't. He was like, I'm not thinking about it. Well, okay. And I think that's where the story kind of generated. But you want, whenever a 44-year-old legend is done, you do want to know, like, what are your plans? We want to catch it before you tell us, sort of thing.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Robert on Twitter. Happy for Matthew Stafford leading Los Angeles and advancing in the playoffs. Ridding the label of can't win in the postseason. Was a fan favorite in Detroit and did a lot with charitable work. Left the team without slamming the door behind him. He certainly did. I agree with that completely. He didn't huff and puff and any of that other stuff. The team was rebuilding. He didn't want to be part of a rebuilding. He loved his time there, loved the organization. Maybe he had some problems with them like anybody else with their, you know, being in a place for a long period of time. But, yeah, you're right. I think people in Detroit are probably happy. I can't speak for all of everybody. But
did he leave screech tires skid marks?
Yeah, exactly.
On the way out, though?
Throwing gasoline on the bridge as you're leaving with the match.
As soon as he got that message, he was like, oh, wait, I'm out?
Yeah, exactly.
Gone!
What a weekend. Wow, what a weekend. So Joe Burrow and the Bengals are going to the AFC Championship game for the first time since 1988. Good for them. I was kind of a bit disappointed in the Titans, but I was kind of like, good for them. Good for this Bengals team.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for them.
They had the longest running joke of not being able to text a Bengals playoff win.
Yeah. 1998 was the last AFC Championship game and they were in. They would go on to Super Bowl 23, where they would lose to San Francisco. The only times they've gone to the Super Bowl, they faced San Francisco. That, of course, was the John Taylor catch.
Mm-hmm.
That was the John Candy game. Remember? That was the John Candy game.
In 88?
Well, 88, January of 89.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I thought that was earlier.
Yep, no, that was the one time. Well, think about it. That was the only game the 49ers needed a game-winning drive to win the Super Bowl. Normally, it was a pretty easy route for those Niners teams. And then the first one, of course, was Super Bowl 16 when they won in Pontiac, Michigan at the Silverdome.
Speaking of Detroit.
Freezing cold. It was ice on the roads. The Niners bus was stuck in it for a bit. Took forever to get there. It was awful. Instead of being in the warm, sunny climate of, let's say, Miami, they went up to Michigan in the middle of the freezing temperatures. But it was still, as Jim Nance pointed out last night, it was the first Super Bowl for Madden and Summerall, and it's still the highest-rated Super Bowl for its time. Basically, you know, how ratings work, it was still the highest rating. I had a professor in college when we did journalism, TV journalism, who had a theory that he thinks that the reason the ratings were so high for that Super Bowl was because Joe Montana and Dwight Clark were pretty good-looking guys and that more women watched that Super Bowl than ever. I never heard that before, but it was one of those things that sticks, that's like stuck with me, and I sort of took it as fact, even though it's not. It was just his thought. But I always went, okay, maybe. I mean, now the total number has gone up. Like every year, it seems like the Super Bowl numbers of audience, but I think percentage of the ratings, I think that Super Bowl still is going to hold a spot because cable television wasn't really in its real infancy, and it's the only thing you would watch at that particular time was the Super Bowl. So it was, there you go. There was no Puppy Bowl on another channel to get your attention.
That's what I'm tuning in for.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever else does counter programming for the Super Bowl, you know, we're going to do a Twilight Zone marathon.
It must be such. I mean, that's what they do, right?
Yeah, I mean,
any television studio, even the network TV shows, they just go, oh, what kind of movie do we have the rights for that we can just throw on there?
We are conceding. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're conceding the time spot. Enjoy the game, everybody. But good for the Bengals and sad for the Titans because the Titans had Derrick Henry coming back, the number one seed. They had home field advantage, and yet they got to the quarterback 9 times. Am I missing anything that was in the Titans' favor?
Did they have home field advantage? Because I was hearing reports that there were a lot more Bengal fans there.
Yeah, there were some Bengal fans there. That was,
but I guess, not enough, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't... I know that was a point of contention leading up to the game. People were nervous, and now it's shifted because
you know, I mean, all eyes are on the Rams,
right?
Because the last time
what will the Rams do?
Well, the Niners, when the last time the Niners played at SoFi, which I think was like week 16, 17. I can't keep my week straight now anymore, but it was towards the end of the season. Niners won in front of a largely home crowd at SoFi Stadium.
I mean, exactly.
To the point the Rams had to go to a silent count in their own stadium.
What do you do if you're Kroenke and the NFC title game is in your – look, the Super Bowl – and I need to make this clear because there's a feeling like the Super – like if you play – at home in the Super Bowl, like the Buccaneers, that you'll have a home field advantage. You don't have a home field advantage in terms of the crowd. The Super Bowl crowd is very, is pretty much the same in every location, right? There's a certain percentage of people who are people from one team, certain percentage of another team. Yep, you get tickets exchanged, people buy tickets, people will pay extra money for tickets. And then a lot of the seats are filled by corporate. You know, corporate sponsors, et cetera, and former, you know, the current players get tickets. So the stadium, like Steeler fans got a hold of a lot of tickets for Super Bowl 40 in Detroit, but it's not filled with your fans because you're playing at home.
Look at last year. I don't think Tampa played in front of a home crowd, even though it was their home stadium.
Well, it was a very light crowd because of COVID, but it wasn't loaded with Buccaneer fans for those who could attend.
Because that's the thing. I mean, yes, you will have some fans.
Right, of course. Everybody.
I mean,
does.
Probably the largest home crowds for either team was when the Buccaneers played against the Packers.
Right.
I mean, the Steelers played against the Packers because those fans travel everywhere.
Right. And they get their hands on the tickets, right? Yep. The tickets are available through second and third, fourth level.
And everyone
parties.
Seems to be a fan of those teams.
Exactly. So if you're willing to pay, you can get Super Bowl tickets. But it's not as prevalent because you don't control the entire venue. The Titans could say, hey, guys, hey, season ticket holders, don't sell your tickets to Bengals fans. All right, we got a home game here. But in the Super Bowl, if the Super Bowl was in Nashville, they wouldn't be able to say that. They don't control the venue, right? It's the NFL takes over your venue. But the NFC title game is where you can control your venue, right? Is where you are expected to have a majority of your fans in that stadium. If Kroenke looks out and sees a majority of the fan base, or not a majority, but a good portion of that fan base is 49er fans, what is he going to make of that? Obviously, moving from St. Louis to Los Angeles was a good business move. It ups the value of your franchise to be in the number two market in the country. But if he's looking around going, oh my God, we haven't caught on yet? Like, what will that say, right? What will that feel like to see a bunch of Niner fans in the stands? You know, the Chargers, they can expect that, right? But the Rams have history there, right? The Rams went to a Super Bowl when they were in that city.
A couple.
Right? I think one.
Didn't they go to more than one in the 70s?
No, they went to
only
Super
went
Bowl
to one?
14. Yeah, now... They went to two with St.
Louis.
Yeah. They went to Super Bowl 14. But if you're like, well, we used to be here, and then we left, now we're back, and all the 49er fans are in the crowd, I think you'd be like, I think it would be a little disheartening. I mean, maybe he's laughing to the bank. Who cares? I mean, he married into the Walmart family, and he's got his own money.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
You know, he's independently wealthy. And then he married into the Walmart family. He married into the Waltons. I mean, how much money can one family possibly have? I used to kid about Josh.
You need all of them.
I used to kid about Josh Kroenke when I was in Denver. Josh Kroenke is the president of the Nuggets and the Avalanche. Spends a lot of times with the Nuggets. Good guy. But he was young, and he went to Missouri and he played basketball in Missouri. And you know, the family was in St. Louis and all that. And they built a library, I think. The Kroenkes built a library there. And I always imagined what Josh's life was like at Missouri. He's a basketball player, and his family built a building on the campus.
I mean, does he say, I'm going to my library?
Right, exactly. Like, if he meets a young lady, and they're like, you want to come to my house for Thanksgiving? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, well, okay, cool. I'll pick you up at 3. We have to be at the private jet airport at 4:30. that's how we lived. That's how he lived while he was in college, being a Walton heir and his father being as wealthy as he was. So, yeah, some people have it. Some people have the luxury. We'll come back. We're going to talk more about the Bills and the Chiefs because that really was the epic game this weekend. All of the games came down to the wire, and all of them have their own little storylines. But I think what we saw last night was so special. I think the NFL is in for a great next couple of years as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this hour. Wake Up Call brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family? Rocket can. By the way, real quick, did you see Darren Rovell tweet that the Rams were one win away from becoming the first team to host a Super Bowl in their own stadium? And how much backlash he got?
No, I missed. Didn't you
how
really
can
say
you
that?
Forget last year? When he was
maybe
pushed
it was a whole year ago, Tony.
Maybe when he was pushed on Twitter, he said, "Well, nobody went." That's why it's like it was the talk of the whole Super Bowl week.
Yeah,
this was now the first time. And by the way, look at Tom Brady; he's the one that gets to do it. Like, how could you miss that? You know what? It's because you go too fast on the Twitter.
But still, I mean. Yeah, I mean, how do you not remember?
How do you not remember that? It's not like it happened 10 years ago and we kind of forgot about it, right?
Or, you know, you try to make that comparison like, well, the 49ers played at Stanford or the Rams played at the Rose Bowl.
Right.
It's like, no, those are all different.
Those were different, exactly. So just don't be so fast on Twitter. Slow down. Research. Just make sure you got it right. Don't jump to it right away.
Now, I saw there was an interesting stat flying around the ESPN yesterday that when division rivals have met in the conference championship game, the winner of that game has gone on to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, nice. And That's a cool statistic.
It's happened three times since 2002.
That is a cool statistic.
Yeah. I think the last one was Seattle.
Seattle and the Niners?
Yeah, I think Seattle and the Niners met up and Seattle went on to win the Super Bowl.
I know the Steelers beat the Ravens.
Yep.
One
like
year,
like in 2002 or something like that.
Conference championship game, and went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so. There was one other one which I can't remember.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's it. I'm telling you.
I think it might have been Giants Eagles.
Could have been. I'll have to look that one up. So Bills and Chiefs yesterday was so good. That, you know, should be for a good rivalry in the AFC. I'm hoping so. But again, as we talked about this morning, do not overlook the fact that there's going to be some teams coming up and knocking on the door to get into that party, right? Right now it is the Chiefs and the Bills, and they've got two young quarterbacks and they're fun to watch and they're excellent, but you've got some teams up and coming, including the team, the Cincinnati Bengals, that are going to be facing Kansas City coming up on Sunday. They've got a quarterback in Joe Burrow and a young wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase, and they can be as electric too. And you never know how teams tweak as the years go by, but if you've got that one consistent thing, you could actually make some noise. But I think last night was so, what made last night so amazing was that the two quarterbacks gave you everything that they possibly could. That was it. There wasn't any flaws in their game. They didn't screw up. Nobody made a mistake. Again, Allen didn't throw a late pick. Mahomes didn't fumble the ball. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. And even if Kansas City could not get down the field in 13 seconds, I'd still say that Patrick Mahomes did everything he possibly could. The fact that he got down the field to kick the field goal in 13 seconds adds to this game.
Yeah, it adds to the not only the legacy of the game, but his legacy as well.
Exactly. And that's what made last night, I think, so fun.
Yeah, as much as his sidearm throws or his jumping throw from last year's Super Bowl, or his horizontal to the ground and still completed a pass, you know, leading a team 13 seconds to kick a game or game tying field goal is ridiculous.
What amazed me about this game was every time the Bills would punt, I was so nervous for them. I was like, this is going to be one of those games where they're going to punt a little too much.
Yeah.
Right. Because it just felt like either team was scoring pretty good, moving the ball a little bit, but there'd be a few times the Bills would stall and they'd have to punt and you'd go, okay, this is what you can't do on the road against Kansas City is you've got to respond to them. And at one point, the Chiefs were up in the third quarter. They were up 23-14. They were an 11-point lead, right? And then the Bills came back and got a touchdown, held Kansas City to a field goal, and then got another touchdown, and boom, in the fourth quarter, with about 2 minutes to go, they had the lead of the game.
And I'm going to say this. I think Josh Allen was the better thrower in that game.
Yeah, he was.
And he might be one of the best overall. He might have, you know, he might be tops in the league right now, because there's some accuracy and zip on that ball that we haven't seen in quite some time.
Oh, my God. And I was my wife and I were watching the game, and she doesn't really want to watch anything outside the Buccaneers. So the fact that she was watching like the final couple minutes with me was pretty cool. But the shot that they had of the behind Allen shot, where Davis is running in, and you just, as a quarterback, how do you not just jump for joy before you throw the football?
Yeah.
Seeing that play develop where you're like, I'm going to hit this and we are going to win this game.
I think it was Davis's third touchdown pass, maybe the one that was before the 2 minute warning for the Bills.
Right, when he was wide open and
when he was wide open and then fell over.
Fell over.
I immediately thought, was that because of the ball?
Right,
the ball was because so Josh, he was throwing it so
hard. Talking
about
those Elway crosses, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
But there was so much zip on that ball. That ball had to hurt.
When Hardman ran for the touchdown in the third quarter that made it an 11-point game, the Bills responded with a one-play 75-yard touchdown that got them right back into this. This game had it all. I mean, this game had everything. And it should go down as the greatest playoff game, if not the greatest game in NFL history. It was that good. All right, hour three coming up next. Frank Schwab will join us to talk more football.